emails from corporate.
Do not open on an email with an attachment. Who could be so dumb? And I think that's part of the premise. We all are of the mindset, kind of like, I'm a good driver. I know I'm a good driver. It's just all the other dopes that get in my way. Isn't that sort of the same mindset?
Well, confidence is part of one of the things that can trip you up.
Jonathan Walton is on the phone with us. Dwyer saw this article about how many tips were there?
He says he's got 8 red flags.
8 red flags. And I think if you pick up or just gain one bit of knowledge from this, then we've done a good thing. Jonathan's on the phone with us. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Sorry about the 100 grand, man. Damn. Is that part of it, Jonathan? Is it our own, lack of a better term, our own arrogance that lulls us into some of these things? Is that fair?
No, it's not arrogance at all. It's actually, you know, before I got scammed out of 100 grand and made a podcast about it called Queen of the Con, available where you get podcasts, I had no idea con artists were real, living, breathing people. I thought it's just something you see on television or in movies like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Those are based on real stories, and there are real people who spend their entire lives just conning person after person after person with an elaborate story. My con artist pretended to be my best friend for 4 years. And while she was scamming me out of 100 grand, she was scamming dozens of other people literally all over the world, in Florida, in Tennessee, in Michigan, in New York, in Maine, and in northern freaking Ireland. So after I got conned, I went public with my story. I put her in jail. My story got like international notoriety, and people started emailing me, other victims with help, you know, asking for help. How do I put my con artist in jail? So I started investigating dozens of cases over the past 4 years. And yeah, I have happened upon these 8 red flags.
Okay.
Con artist in your life.
By the way, if you want to hear all of Jonathan's story, that's season 1 of your podcast, right? Which I think
yes.
It's called Queen of the Con, the Irish Heiress is season 1.
Queen of the Con.
And I recommend that you listen to it other than during morning drive.
Yeah.
Any other time? I mean, you don't give away like concert tickets and stuff during your podcast, do you? Because otherwise, we're out of a game. But so
no, yeah,
so the article that I fell upon, which I think is so cool, is how you use your experience to kind of help other people navigate a con they may have been a victim of or they might be in the middle of now.
Yes.
And so then you kind of come in with, okay, I got scammed, but here's what I learned that might help you.
Absolutely. And I've already been contacted by a bunch of people who read the article and say, you know what? This helped me spot the con in my life. I've not been conned yet, but I'm gonna cut ties and walk away because, you know, con artistry is the oldest profession, and there are only a finite number of scams, about a dozen or so different scams, and they're identical. Only the names and places change. All the signs are the same. One of the main signs is what I call too kind, too quick. If you meet someone new in your life, you know, a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, a new coworker, a new neighbor, as in my case, and they're so kind and loving and sweet, and they always want to pay for things, and they want to take you to dinners, and they want to buy you gifts, and they just seem like the nicest people in the world, and they want nothing in return, and you just met them, you're probably being set up for a con, because a con artist's first job is to not be a stranger. Because listen, if a stranger asks you to drive him to the airport, you look at him and be like, no, get the hell away from me. But if a
I say that to a relative. So
exactly.
But okay, so
exactly.
they're overly nice under the premise, yeah, of they want nothing in return. And that's unfortunate,
exactly,
isn't it, that you have to assume that someone is being nice? I mean, not assume, but you just have to
be careful.
Niceness is a red flag. It's a sad
commentary.
It is, commentary.
Especially with strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, with strangers particularly. You know, if you know people, you know people, you're fine. But if a new person comes into your life and immediately they're so nice for no reason, there's always a reason. You know, you could be the target of a con. You could be their next mark. So look out, especially if the other red flags are present.
Right.
Another one is, I'm better than you. Con artists are narcissists. And they're going to tell you how great they are, how accomplished they are. One case I'm working on, the con artist works in the mayor's office and brags about how amazingly connected she is,
yeah,
and how lucky the victim is to know them. you're lucky to know me. You're lucky to have met me. I'm an important person. You know, so that coupled with the niceness, look out.
And do they say that to you literally, like, you're lucky to know me, or do they just try to impress that upon you during this familiarity phase?
Right. They don't actually say that out loud, but they do everything to make you think a lot of them, how important they are, how accomplished they are, how unique they are, how wealthy they are.
And do you think that's because if they can get you to think that of them without them saying it, then you're going to trust your instincts more quickly than whatever they might say?
You hit it on the head. Absolutely. They need you to come to that conclusion so you think it's your own idea. Absolutely.
Okay.
That reminds me of that celebrity, that rock star surgeon who duped that ABC News 2020 producer, Dr. Paolo Macarini or something like that. He speaks 82 languages and he's the best surgeon and he's the medical doctor to the Pope. And is it because their narcissism, you feel inadequate by their impressive resume that you have to try to keep up with them and therefore you don't own up to your own inadequacies? Is that the right way to put it?
I think that's a tiny part of it, but the bigger part and the main part of it is, you know, con artist is short for confidence artist. So these people need to gain your confidence. And the quickest way to do that is if you think much of someone and you respect them, of course you have confidence in them, and that enables them to scam you. So that's just a technique for them to gain your confidence.
So I'm in your article, you talk about how your con artist was this incredible travel agent, world traveler. And is that always going to be the case where it's something like just so outlandish? Or are there smaller versions of the I'm better than you that you are experienced with?
I mean, there certainly are smaller versions, but here's the thing. The majority of people have this misconception that a lie is easy to spot, that if there's a detailed story with characters and color and background and it's complicated, well, she must be telling the truth because it's just so outlandish and crazy. It must be true, but actually the opposite is true. Con artists know how to color their stories and make them detailed. So their victims think, oh, she must be telling the truth.
And you know what, Jonathan? We stumbled onto something. People say this kind of like you dropped the fidence part of confidence and now it's con. Another, Dwyer and I say, man, we find ourselves going, wow, that's unbelievable. And you buy into it. It's so unbelievable. What is unbelievable? That means you should not believe it. But we're so impressed.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we use it casually. Like we throw around the word, I literally stopped. I literally died. You didn't. But you say that because.
So in your con, and the reason I keep going back to it is because it's really spelled out well in your article, which I think we're going to link to on our site. But it's you talk about how the president of French Polynesia would fly your con out to their hotels to inspect. Like, that is so unbelievable, but yet...
And it's so specific. It's so specific, it's got to be true.
So how did that make you feel about your friendship with her, though? That's kind of what the point is, right? They want you to feel something about them.
Yeah, well, you know, before my eyes were opened, I bought everything, hook, line, and sinker. I believed my con artist was an Irish heiress, and I was helping her get her inheritance. I mean... Wow. I could punch myself in the face for saying that out loud now, but I fell for every single thing because I'd never been in the midst of a professional con artist before. I didn't really think they existed, and I fell for it, and all of her victims fell for it. And once I started looking into these cases, the similarity, another red flag I call drama, drama, drama. You know, bad things happen to everyone, but every bad thing doesn't happen to the same person at the same time. You know, her kid died. She got cancer. She got, you know, raped at a bar. Like, she had so much drama in her life, and she ensnared me in it, and I, because I cared about her by that point, and I wanted to help her. I wanted to help her, and I offered to help her. So, and that was her plan.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that. So man, I do so much good for so many people, and yet they keep on screwing me over. Whether it's cancer or my relatives or my this. Or my, thank God I have you, who I can trust. And is that it?
That's.
Yeah.
And there's,
and it's kind of like a labyrinth they bring you into, right? There's so many things taking your attention away that you can't focus a really good spotlight on any one particular thing. And you're also not in the business of investigating these stories to see that they're true because of the initial too kind, too quick red flag.
Exactly, because you care about them. Once you care about someone, and that's the thing, con artists don't outsmart you. Con artists outfeel you. They use your emotion to scam you. They get you to care about them, so you're not making decisions with your brain. You're making decisions with your heart. And once that's done, you're screwed.
And it's a backhanded compliment. All of these horrible people in my life, but at least you're not like that. So that makes you feel good. Oh, tell me more. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
All right. Drama. If there's too much drama, no one has
all
that,
of a sudden.
No one has that much bad luck. Okay.
Another one is isolation. Isolation's a big one, and this one sneaks up on you because it's kind of gossipy. My con artist convinced me that my neighbor, because we all live in the same building, and that's how we met, and she told me my neighbor and her husband are on the run from authorities in Canada because they committed murder, and they're hiding out in our building here in Los Angeles.
What?
So I avoided my neighbor like the plague. I thought, like, God, I want to stay away from this woman. Meanwhile, she's telling my neighbor that I'm mentally unstable and violent and mentally ill, so my neighbor is scared of me. So she is scamming both of us who live so close to each other with different stories.
So let me,
we're none the wiser.
Let me stop you right there.
Isolation.
Because if she's scamming both of you, she's not using the same stories on both of you, is she? Did you guys ever get to compare notes after this was all said and done?
We did. After I started investigating and pulling at this thread and finding 46 other victims all over the world, my neighbor being one of them.
46.
Yeah, we realized that, she isolated you from me and me from you, so we could never compare stories, so she could scam us both unabated, you know? And that's what professionals do. They want to get you isolated from people who might talk you out of the con or talk some sense to you. You know,
same thing with family too.
So again, if it's drama, if it's drama, if they're telling you how great they are, if they're, you know, and then they're isolating you, they're telling you, well, so and so did this, you shouldn't talk to them. So and so did this, you should avoid them. You know, that's a huge red flag, especially if the other red flags are present.
We're talking with Jonathan Walton, who's got a great article in the HuffPost, and he's also got a website, jonathanwalton.com, where you can hear his podcast about how he was scammed and how he got revenge and justice against his scammer. Let's talk a little bit more about isolation and the way the con will try it, because they must try to isolate you unsuccessfully from certain people. How do they respond when they can't drive a wedge between you and, say, like a family member?
I mean, my con artist, in other cases where she was not successful in scamming victims, she just, you know, cut bait and moved on.
Really?
You know, a con artist, and that's actually, you know, those crazy emails you get that say, you know, there's a bank account, blah, 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 and you find all these grammatical errors? Those are intentional. That's the scammer trying to weed people out. If you're too persnickety and too smart and you pick out the grammatical errors in the beginning, they don't want to deal with you. They want someone more gullible and accepting.
Wow.
So con artists.
Really?
Yeah, that's their way of weeding you out.
It's like the method of grooming, sort of, huh?
Wow. Hang on. Let's say that again. Because all of our listeners just were at Nelly last night at the fair, so they're all hungover. But listen to those misspellings on those emails that we all laugh at.
Like, I wish you would enjoy it.
Yeah, right. Okay. Those are intentional in order to weed out people who are too suspect. Holy shnikes, Jonathan. Yes. That is amazing.
Jonathan Walton is on the phone with this Queen of the Con is his podcast. And you're laying some eye-opening stuff on us. When you said the isolation part, and I'm assuming you've seen, is it Bad Vegan on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, that was really, really eye-opening. Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what the boyfriend did with her. You know, they're just jealous because you and I are in love, and they don't understand. So they put that wedge where your closest friends from childhood, hey, it's really awkward to talk about. There's something not right about this guy. How dare you?
Yeah.
He warned me about what a bitch you are.
Defend the fact that they are isolating you.
He told me you would be jealous of our relationship and try to sabotage it, and now it's happening. How dare you?
Wow.
And you know, it also happened to Brittany Murphy. That's how she died. A con artist murdered Brittany Murphy, this guy targeted her, made her fall in love with him, and over the course of years, got her to dump her agent, got her to dump her manager, took control of her bank accounts, took control of her money. And in the end, he didn't want her going to the hospital when she was sick because other people would be telling her different things than what he's telling her because he was conning her the whole time.
I don't want to
When she died, he got everything.
I don't want to take you off of this topic, but do you have a quick take on Britney Spears?
I don't think it's as much. There's a lot of conning going on. I just think they're taking advantage of a woman, and the dad's a real piece of work needs to be, taken out.
I didn't know if you felt like a similarity between those two things. We got to take a break, Jonathan, but we're barely halfway into your red flags. One thing, when you say isolation, I just wanted to read this quick line from your article. Being told not to talk to someone is about the biggest red flag there is. And it's a very effective tool for a working con artist to isolate you. That's genius right there. Especially because that's something people can really see in their real lives if they look for it. Yep.
All right, Jonathan, hang on.
If the other red flags are present. Yeah, we'll talk after the break.
All right, we'll be right back. We've got with us on the phone, Jonathan Walton, who hosts Queen of the Con, the fake Irish heiress. And Jonathan was scammed out of nearly $100,000. And one of the tips that he gave, the red flags that he mentioned right off the bat, was too kind, too quick, overly friendly. And before you get the wrong idea, I've seen some of these other movies, documentaries, where people get conned. And you might be thinking, oh, yeah, I know what's up. Jonathan sees this attractive woman. He was shunned by the homecoming queen. He never had a date with a beautiful woman. Now he falls for that. Good thought. But, Jonathan, that wasn't going to work on you because...
Yeah, I'm gay, happily married to my husband. So, yeah, she got into my life as a best friend. She shared her stories of woe, and she was so kind and sweet and funny and loving.
Okay.
You know, con artists are great friendly, fun people to be around.
But did she use her sexuality incorrectly?
Like, did she try and then have to pivot when she realized that you were married to a male, or was that never going to be part of the con with you? Because she already knew.
No, that was never.
Okay.
That was never going to be part of the con. But some of her victims, she was dating. You know, and
we go over
in the podcast, Queen of the Con. Yeah, she tried to scam a Newport Beach engineer out of his two homes. She was dating him. She met him on Tinder. And she had a whole con worked out for him where she was going to buy a $15 million house and put his name on it. And he said, no, because if we break up, I'm going to own half your house. She's like, all right, well, if you want to make it, fair, just add my name to the titles of your two homes.
And
she drew up paperwork to do it. She had a realtor. He brought his kids to that $15 million house, and they picked out their bedrooms. That con got so freaking far. It's just insane.
Well, what do most, and I don't know if there's a common thread, most con artists, is this what they do for a living, or do they all have day jobs?
Yes.
they do. This is their real job, is conning, but they will get legitimate day jobs, and that's another red flag.
Oh.
One case I'm working on in Florida, the con artist works for the mayor's office. So she looks legit, but she targets vulnerable people like the widow who contacted me for help. She got scammed out of $200,000 by this woman, using every technique I mentioned in the article, the eight red flags. And the woman was none the wiser until the money had exchanged hands, and you know, police are investigating now, but don't dismiss the idea that someone could be scamming you because you think, oh, well, they work in the mayor's office. There's no way this is a scam. They're legitimate people. Con artists use legitimate day jobs as a cover for their real job.
Is there always an element of secrecy involved? I can't tell you that because it's privileged information, which would explain their absences, their finances, things like that.
You know, it's not even a secret. They make up elaborate stories to explain everything away, so everything just seems believable. They would never not explain something, but their explanation would be completely made up.
We asked Jonathan, who wrote a great article, to give us the 8 red flags that he discovered while being conned and while helping other people. These are common throughout most cons, and you could go to the HuffPost and read his article, but it's much easier to go to twodorks.com.
Click on it. It's a safe website.
Which is our website, and because HuffPost, it's very difficult for people to get to. I don't know if you know this, it's barely even on the internet, but twodorks.com, that's easy to get to. We've linked to all the important pertinent stuff, including your podcast, which you should not listen to in the morning, but it's a great afternoon podcast, or maybe one you want to listen to at night before you go to bed. So we're into these red flags, and one red flag might not necessarily be a stop sign for a relationship with somebody, but a couple of them together in tandem can only mean one thing. Would you say that?
Oh, I would even go further. I would say, one or two don't mean that much and could just be a coincidence. But in every con I'm investigating, which are a couple dozen cases, these 8 red flags are common in every single one of them. These are the techniques they use.
And it's sort of like boiling a frog. You get lulled into it, and before you realize it, you're in a pot of hot water and you can't jump out. Where did we leave off?
Isolation.
Isolation. Okay.
Yeah. Technology is a big one today. Con artists are embracing technology, and it's working for them. For instance, when I was in the midst of my con and I had no idea I was getting scammed, my con artist would show me texts and emails from her lawyers, from her barristers in Northern Ireland, from her angry cousin Fintan calling her the C word.
Oh.
And she would show me the text. Yeah. And she'd burst into tears like, oh, my God, look what he said. I can't believe, and I believe it. Never for a second did I think she created Google accounts, Google Voice accounts to text herself as all these characters so that she could show me these exchanges and sell me on the idea that she's communicating with all these people, but none of them were real. They were all just email and text accounts she created to communicate with herself.
So she's using technology and drama together.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm too lazy to be a con. That's too much. I can't keep my own regular email account straight in order to pull this off. But again, that's the same thing with that the guy did in the Tinder swindler. Same sort of thing. And the one person was 100% fake, all manufactured by him as the friend who was. Wow. All right. So they're pretty sharp with technology.
But even think of your own life. How many times, and this is a normal thing, how many times has someone held up their phone and said, hey, look what so-and-so just texted me. Isn't that crazy? You never think it's a fake text account. They texted themselves to sell you an idea. You just believe it. Oh, so-and-so said that. That's crazy. Yeah. But, any of the other red flags are present, be suspicious because that's a technique they use very successfully.
Would you say technology, being probably the most recent of the red flags, would you say that we've become lazier in I don't know, sniffing these out, simply because if they show it to you, it's there in black and white or whatever. We're so lazy, and we've become accustomed to whatever we see on a screen. Well, we probably believe.
Well, because I can't fake it.
Right.
Means that somebody else obviously can't.
Exactly. Because most people go around thinking, well, I would never do something crazy like that. So no one else would. But actually, this is what professional cons do all day, every day.
I'm so disappointed in myself just for not. But I'm glad we're having this conversation because I think, myself included, a lot of people wouldn't realize a lot of these things.
I didn't. I fell for every one of them. I didn't realize it till it was too late.
Jonathan Walt is out $100,000 due to this fake Irish heiress. And she is in jail currently, right?
Well, she got out early because of COVID.
Wonderful. So
she is out and about.
What do you bet that she duped a probation officer or the judicial system and got an early release somehow?
Oh, I wouldn't put it past her because she faked. She got out of paying rent in our building for 6 months pretending to have cancer. You know, nothing. There's no low too low.
There's no low too low. All of Jonathan's 8 red flags, you could follow them up at twodorks.com. His podcast, Queen of the Con, the fake Irish heiress. Do you take, like, clients to help them, or do you just do this gratis to try and snuff out and stamp out con artists?
I do it. It's a pastime for me. No, I don't take payment because that would be a con. No, in my free time.
You just passed Bill's number one red flag.
No, you know, it's a way of helping me make sense of what happened to me. It fills me with a profound sense of purpose that I can use what happened to me to help other people and to share stories that my story enable them to see what was happening in their life and prevent a con from happening.
Sure.
It just means, you know, I feel like if there was a reason this happened to me.
This is the answer to the question, why me? This is why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the last couple deal with the financial end of it. What did we leave off at? Number 7?
Yeah, wires. So this is crazy, and this is literally almost every single con I've looked into. Wires. If someone asks you to send a wire, there's a good chance it's a con because wires and cons are associated. My con artist, while she was scamming me, she scammed 2 New York real estate investors out of $60,000, tricking them to believing that her daughter had like this advanced stage cancer and needed experimental surgery to save her life. And they just wired her $60,000. Another case I'm working on, it was a love scam where the victim fell in love with a guy online. She never met him, but they developed a relationship over 4 months. He got stuck in Africa digging an oil well, and the African government confiscated his equipment, and she had to wire him $500,000 to release it. By then, she knew he had a lot of money. He had sent her bank statements to prove he's good for it, you know. But if anyone asks you to send a wire and there are any of the other red flags present, just run the other way. Don't do it.
I don't think I have ever wired anybody money. When they say wire me the payment, what do they mean? Like go to...
Well, banks. Banks wire money to other banks.
Okay.
And it's a quick way to send money. And here's the thing about it. Once you send a wire, it's not like a credit card charge where you can call the company after and complain and get the charge taken off. A wire is final. Once that money is wired from your account to another account,
poof,
it's done. You never see that money again.
So just to help people, when they say, wire me the money, you obviously would come back and say, geez, how about we do it through PayPal? How about we do it through this?
Yeah.
They'll have an answer. And what will those answers be?
Oh, they'll come up with incredible stories. Well, you know, my uncle is in a lawsuit with PayPal and they banned our entire family. They'll come up with legitimate stories. You know, my mother was murdered by someone who worked at PayPal. I just can't deal with them anymore. It's a bat. I get triggered. Whatever. Yes. They come up with an explanation why you've got to wire the money.
I remember that.
You're right. With PayPal, you have recourse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember the PayPal murders. It was a big case.
Big case. It's on Netflix. It's streaming right now.
So the last of your 8 red flags, Jonathan, is something that I wasn't even aware of, even to give a title to. You call it beak wetting. Explain a little bit.
Beak wetting?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Well, it's probably the most powerful tool in a con artist's toolbox, beak wetting. So in a lot of investment scams and a lot of love scams, you will actually see some of your money or some money up front. For instance, I loaned my con artist, the first set of money she got from me was $4,200 I loaned her, and she paid me back the next day, or rather, she tricked a married politician she was dating into paying me back the next day. But either way, that made me confident in loaning her more money in the future because I thought, you know, it's good for it. She's a woman of her word. She pays her debts. In a lot of investment scams, a lot of those Ponzi schemes, you see, you put in your money and then they give you returns. You see money at first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only to wet your beak.
Got it.
Beak wetting. That's what trick you into.
It's sort of like they're establishing a credit history with you, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. That's it.
Well, Jonathan, I'm sorry that this happened to you, but and I appreciate you sharing what you've learned from this. Have you ever gone back using your tips? Remember the movie Something About Mary?
Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, go back to the scene where Tucker, the guy in the crutches, and Healy, the supposed architect, are going two cons going back and forth. I wonder how many of your things were present in that scene, because it's two con artists trying to out-con each other. And there was something you said, and I'm like, wow. Oh, yeah, I worked at Sao Paulo, Brazil. Who's going to fact check that?
Yeah.
He's like, with the Louvre or with the Guggenheim or whatever.
That's right.
So they just kept upping the ante. So it's a pretty fascinating example of, and I suppose it could happen, but they always have an answer until they don't.
Well, it also pings what we said earlier, is when the story is so elaborate and detailed, it's got to be true, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what your conventional wisdom would tell you, right? You've been an awesome guest, man. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, because we all don't know the flags when we're in the middle of it. And so it's better to get this information. I mentioned before we had you on, I almost fell for a car sale con, but then the guy told me he was serving overseas and the car was in storage in Atlanta and something, and all of a sudden it like popped up. I had heard that.
Yeah,
I heard it somewhere. And so we're hoping that just by folks hearing you describe your con, and you're so forthcoming, because I would feel bad if somebody stole $92,000 from me. I might not be the guy who goes, I might want to hide from that. You know what I mean?
And that's how con artists succeed. The vast majority of victims are not like me. The vast majority of victims stay quiet, don't go to police, don't tell a soul, because they're ashamed.
Yeah.
And that enables the con artist to continue scamming unabated because no one's outing them, you know?
It's a sad world that we live in, and we said this before you came on. You almost have to assume the worst, because human nature is you meet somebody, they're telling you the truth from the get-go. But you almost have to start with the opposite approach. And that's an awful way to live.
It's a safer, you know, you don't have to be cruel about it, but just be suspicious, you know, and look for things that don't add up and look for inconsistencies. You don't have to be a crazy nut, and I'm not, and I still make friends. But if I hear a couple of inconsistencies, or if I see any of these red flags we talked about today, I cross the street. I avoid the drama.
Yeah.
Let me ask one kind of unrelated to your article question. You say you and your husband both met her at the, you know, she became friends of both of you guys. Was one of you more trusting of her than the other? And was there ever an I told you so of any kind?
No, because he didn't suspect anything until it was, you know, near the end.
Okay.
She targeted me because, and this is the brilliance of her as a con artist, and this is what they all do. We live in a building in downtown Los Angeles. We lost our swimming pool to another building in a legal dispute, and she offered to help our building get it back, and our neighbors bonded together. So early on, I'm the one who stuck up flyers all over the building. You know, I'm the do-gooder trying to galvanize our community to get the pool back. She sees that and thinks, I can con this guy using his do-good nature. I'll get him to do good for me. So then she invents this elaborate story about her family is getting her disinherited. They're trying to get her arrested. They're trying to set her up. So she knows that I would want to help her. You know, that's my nature.
Okay.
So
she
targets every victim. She targets a different scam for. And that's what they do. These are professionals. This is what she's been scamming since she was a child. If you listen to the podcast, Queen of the Con, we interview a victim who met her when they were both 11 years old.
Wow.
And even at 11 years old, my con artist tricked this little girl into going into a stranger's house, trying on a stranger's clothes in their bedroom. It's like, why would she do that? Just because she's a con artist and a child exercising her muscle of manipulation. She wants to see can I trick this other little girl into doing these crazy things?
Jeez.
Oh, yes, I can. And she thrills from it. This is what they do.
It's a character flaw. There's the 20, 30 years from now, we'll find which strand of DNA is responsible for this and turn it off, hopefully. But in the meantime,
I believe you're right.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate you sharing this with us. And we'll, like I said earlier, I worry about my mom and dad. You know, they're in their 80s. Yeah. I'm not smart enough to figure some of these things out. So I hope everybody listening, if it made you question something one time, go back and review these things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of offending this new best friend who's the greatest person in the world who's down on their luck. There's a reason why they're offended. And they follow you right down the rabbit hole. All right, Jonathan, Queen of the Con. All of the information, we put a link up there. Thanks again for sharing what you know with us. And good luck to you. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care, man.
Take care.